Oh, my God.
Bloody bastards.
Pull yourself together, Corporal.
What?
Corporal!
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's better. We have to move it back. Hold this against the arm. There.
Like this?
That's hot. Good. Are you hurt?
Oh, yes. Just my arm.
Show me. That's not too bad. You live.
Sir! Doctor! Dr. Watson!
A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. A Study in Scarlet. Part 1, Revenge.
The Second Afghan War brought honors and promotion to many. But for me, it had nothing but misfortune and disaster. I was shot in the shoulder at the fatal Battle of Maiwand, and, worn with pain and weak from prolonged hardship, I was struck down by enteric fever, the curse of our Indian possessions. For months, my life was despaired of, and when at last I came to myself, I was so weak and emaciated that not a day was lost in sending me back to England. I landed a month later on Portsmouth Jetty, with my health irretrievably ruined. I had neither kith nor kin in England, and was therefore as free as air, or as free as an army pension of 11 shillings and 6 pence a day will permit a man to be. Under such circumstances, I naturally gravitated to London, that great cesspool into which all the idlers and loungers of the empire are irresistibly drained.
Thank you. Here.
Thank you, sir.
Watson?
What?
John Watson? Stamford. Good Lord. Whatever have you been doing with yourself? You're as thin as a lath and as brown as a nut.
By God, it's good to see you. Let me look at you. Young Stamford.
Have you eaten?
Oh, of course you haven't. Come and lunch with me. We'll go to the Holborn. What do you say?
Wounded in action, eh?
In the shoulder.
And then they sent you home?
No, to the base hospital, the Peshawar. Filthy place. Now, next to no doctors, never enough supplies. Over 3/4 of the patients come down with typhoid.
You too?
Oh, yeah.
Never rains but it pours, eh?
Now, what do you know about it? Sitting here at home, safe and snug, it's just a game to you, isn't it? Just a damn game.
What's up?
I'm sorry, Stanford. My nerves are shot to pieces.
It's all right, old man. You've had a hell of a time of it. Anyway, I'm glad I ran into you.
And so am I. I'm afraid I've not been much of a lunch companion.
Not a bit of it.
Now, what are you doing these days? Is it Dr. Stamford yet?
Afraid not.
You're not still up at Bart's.
The perpetual student, that's me. Damn sight better than working for a living, I tell you. What about you? Still writing? Finished the notorious novel yet?
I haven't so much as glanced at it.
Oh, so what are you up to?
Nothing at all, really. I've been leading a meaningless sort of existence.
Where are you living?
An hotel in the Strand.
An hotel? But isn't that rather...
rather beyond my means. Yes, it is. So, as from today, I do have an aim in life. I'm looking for new lodgings. Comfortable rooms at a reasonable price.
Well, that's a strange thing.
Well, what's strange about you?
Well, you're the second man today who's used that expression to me.
Really?
Yes. The other chap had found his comfortable rooms all right, but the price was too high for him. He was looking for someone to go halves.
By Jove. Who is he?
Well...
Stamford?
A fellow who's working in the laboratory up at the hospital. You mustn't blame me if you don't get on with him.
Why are you being so cagey about this man? Why shouldn't I get on with him?
You don't know him yet. You might not care for him as a constant companion.
Why? What is there against him?
Oh, I didn't say there was anything against him. He's a little queer in his ideas.
Mm. What is he? Medical student?
I don't think so. I've no idea what he intends to go in for.
A mystery man, eh?
He's a first-class chemist.
But a little queer in his ideas.
Let's see if he's in here. At his reception room. Is that likely? Hmm. He was in here yesterday.
Oh, he isn't today. Anyway, if he's a chemist, what was he doing in there?
He was beating a cadaver with a cudgel.
Beating a cadaver?
He told me he wanted to find out how far bruises can be produced after death.
Good grief. I hope he confines that sort of thing to the hospital. If I'm going to lodge with anyone, I'd rather prefer them to be the quiet, studious type.
Stamford! I found it! Ha-ha! Stamford! I found it! I knew I would!
Dr. Watson?
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
How do you do?
How are you? You've been in Afghanistan, I perceive.
How on earth did you know that?
Never mind. Come and look at this. Hmm? Come on! I found a reagent which is precipitated by hemoglobin and nothing else. Well, you see the significance.
It's interesting chemically, I suppose.
Interesting. It's the most practical medico-legal discovery for years. An infallible test for bloodstains. Once blood has dried, it's impossible to tell the stains from rust or mud or fruit or a dozen other things.
The only important thing about stains is getting rid of them. Who wants to tell them apart?
Some of the vilest crimes of the century have gone undetected because of that very point, Stamford. But no longer. Oh, now we have the Sherlock Holmes test. Now, look here. Get rid of this clutter.
Oh, good.
There you are. There. Now. Doctor, please pass me that needle.
Here.
Thank you. Now, let's have some fresh blood. Yeah, the blood goes into a liter of water. There. The proportion can't be more than one in a million. But add some of this. Yes, and exactly three drops of this.
I say.
Beautiful, beautiful. An instant reaction and quite unmistakable. And it works on old blood as well as new. The Sherlock Holmes test.
Congratulations.
There was a case of von Bischoff at Frankfurt last year, and Mason in Bradford, and the notorious Muller, and Lefebvre of Montpellier, and Samson of New Orleans. Oh, if this test had been in existence then.
What if it had?
Well, they would most certainly all have been hung. Pass me that sticking plaster, would you, Stamford?
Charpentier?
My mother is out, sir. May I help you?
My employer, Mr. Drebber, and I are looking for accommodation.
Two rooms, full board.
Well, I'm not sure.
Perhaps we could wait for Madame Charpentier.
Yes, we'll wait. I'm sure you can entertain us the meanwhile, eh?
What are these rooms like?
Oh, don't concern yourself. They'll suit us down to the ground.
I'm pleased to hear it.
You don't object to the smell of strong tobacco, I hope?
I always smoke ships myself.
Well, then that's good enough. I generally have chemicals about and occasionally do experiments. Would that annoy you?
By no means.
Good. Now, let me see. What are my other shortcomings?
No.
I get in the dumps at times. Don't open my mouth for days on end. He mustn't think I'm sulky when I do that. Now, just let me learn and I'll soon be all right.
Very well.
Now, what have you to confess now, Doctor?
Me?
Well, it's just as well for two fellows to know the worst of one another before they begin to live together. Hmm? come on.
Well, I keep a bull pup.
A dog?
Yeah. A friendly little chap. His name's Beecher.
What else?
I object to rows because my nerves are shaken. I get up at all sorts of ungodly hours, and I'm extremely lazy. I have another set of vices when I'm well, but those are the principal ones present.
Do you include violin playing in your category of rows?
That depends upon the player. A well-played violin is a treat for the gods. A badly played one.
Oh, that's all right, then.
There you are, gentlemen. There's this room, the bedroom adjoining, and another one upstairs. Terms to include all meals and laundry. Illuminating gas is extra.
Well, Doctor.
Seems splendid so far. I'll just have a look at
it. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. We'll take it. I think I'll have this corner for my chemicals, if you've no objection.
Not in the least.
Oh, what am I thinking of? But your constitution isn't up to this.
I'm perfectly all right.
Nonsense, Watson. Sit down.
Thank you.
Good. Now, you rest for a while. The unpacking can wait.
I assure you I'm fine.
My dear doctor, quite apart from your generally weakened condition, your left shoulder has been seriously injured, and recently.
Well, yes.
Also, your right leg, though you disguise the fact very well.
So I thought.
Oh, an ordinary person wouldn't have noticed.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, but why conceal it at all? To be wounded in the service of one's country is not something to be ashamed of. Mm. No, you're a proud man, Doctor. The pity of others would be abhorrent to you. Of course. Good.
Not really, Holmes.
Look at this. No, don't get up. Have you seen Scarabarius before?
Look at that finish. Yeah, it's beautiful. Is it really genuine?
I bought it for 50 shillings at a Jew broker's in the Tottenham Court Road. It's worth at least 500 guineas. Do you like Bach? Do you like Bach?
I'd rather listen to Gilbert and Sullivan.
You should have told him.
Oh, I did. He carried on as if he hadn't heard a word. And then I realised that he wasn't playing Bach anymore. It had turned into a I'm called Little Buttercup.
Good Lord.
Yeah, the man's amazing. How's Beecher? Oh,
fighting fit. That was damn decent of you, Watson. I've always wanted a dog. Just never got round to doing anything about it.
Does he miss me, do you think?
Oh, doesn't seem to. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean that the way it sounded.
Ah, don't worry. Wasn't really fair on him. State I've been in. And it would never have worked out at Baker Street anyway. Extraordinary thing. The way he kept going for Holmes' ankles all the time. Stanford?
Hmm?
Do you happen to know if he's addicted to anything?
He seems like a perfectly healthy dog to me.
Will you grow up?
Sorry, old man, but you did set it up rather neatly. What do you mean? Some narcotic? It doesn't strike me as likely.
I've seen him lie on the sofa and not move a muscle from morning to night. And the look in his eyes...
I said he was a puzzle.
How the devil did he know I'd been in Afghanistan?
A good many people have wanted to know just how he finds things out. He seems to be well up on an incredible range of subjects.
Yesterday at dinner, I was treated to a half-hour lecture on the life of Paganini. On Tuesday, it was medieval torture devices.
I bet that did wonders for your appetite.
And yet, he's amazingly ignorant about some things. This morning, he actually claimed not to know that the Earth goes round the sun.
You're not serious.
He got quite heated about it. What the deuce is it to me? Now that you've told me, I shall do my best to forget it. It doesn't do to crowd out useful knowledge with a lot of worthless rubbish. I can't fathom him at all. Did you know he goes in for boxing?
Boxing? Mm. He must be a damn sight stronger than he looks.
And single stick and fencing. He has a shelf full of trophies. He keeps his soil and gravel samples in them. Oh, and his collection of half-smoked cigarettes.
I said you might find him difficult to live with.
Oh, I don't. Not really. It's just that I do like things to be orderly. Everything in its place. He keeps his cigars in the coal scuttle.
I can believe it. Have you found out what line he's in yet?
No. At first, I thought he was a doctor, too. Or training to be one. But now, I'm not so sure.
Well, have you met any of his friends? Ask one of them.
I don't think he has any friends as such.
But he has had a stream of visitors. They were all different sorts. Filthy old peddler, railway porter, priest. Yesterday he saw a young lady. Beautiful girl.
Oh.
Stamford, you have the mind of a street urchin.
Did he introduce you to this vision of loveliness? I remember you and the ladies.
No such luck. When Mr. Holmes has his visitors, I'm banished to my bedroom. He's very apologetic about it, mind you.
Have you tried listening at the door?
Oh, really?
It's the only way you're going to find out what he's up to. Short of asking him to his face. Why haven't you done that, anyway?
I don't want to. I want to work him out for myself. There's nothing I like better than a good mystery.
Mr. Drebber.
Madame Charpentier.
I tell you frankly, sir, your manners towards my maidservants are disgustingly familiar. And worse, sir, you have spoken to my daughter in a way which, fortunately, she is too innocent to understand.
She's a lovely girl. Ain't the world to me.
How dare you, sir?
Hold your tongue, woman. Oh. Leave me alone. Oh. Ah, damn the thing.
Mother, whatever's going on?
Leave us, Alice.
Oh, no, you don't. Come here. Yeah, come on, give me your
Mr. Drebber! Let go of me! Oh, no. I want you out of my house, Mr. Drebber.
Oh, yes?
Today. You shall leave today. And think yourself lucky that my son Arthur wasn't here to see your disgusting conduct.
Why? What would he have done, huh?
I must say, Holmes, you couldn't have found a place with a better cook. I haven't tasted steak and kidney pudding like that for years.
Some brandy, Doctor?
I believe I will. Thank you.
Yes, I suspect the late Mr. Hudson ate his way into an early grave. Killing by kindness could be a very subtle form of murder, don't you think?
What an astonishing notion.
There. To your continued recovery.
Thank you.
Now, let's have some music. If Bach isn't to your taste, perhaps you'd like Wagner.
Wagner.
Nothing will come of nothing, Doctor. Ask me a question.
I realize it's not actually any of my business, but are you studying medicine?
No.
Oh.
Sherlock Holmes. His limits.
Holmes?
Knowledge of literature, nil. Knowledge of philosophy, nil. Knowledge of astronomy, nil. Knowledge of politics, feeble.
I burnt that list.
Not very thoroughly. Knowledge of botany, variable, well up on belladonna, opium and poisons generally, knows nothing of practical gardening.
This is outrageous.
Knowledge of geology, practical but limited. Knowledge of chemistry, profound. Thank you. Knowledge of anatomy, accurate but unsystematic. Knowledge of sensational literature, immense. Appears to know every detail of every horror perpetrated in the century.
You left out plays the violin well.
That part you did succeed in burning. Oh, forgive me, Doctor, but I found your list as intriguing as you evidently find me. What conclusion have you drawn?
I couldn't reach any conclusion. I burnt that list in frustration.
All those clues, and you deduced nothing.
Not a thing.
Well, well. Have you seen this magazine? It came this morning.
No, I don't believe I have. Is there anything of interest in it?
Look at this article.
A Book of Life. Ambitious sort of title. the science of deduction and analysis. Begin by mastering an elementary problem. On meeting a fellow man, learn at a glance to distinguish his history and the trade or profession to which he belongs. By a man's fingernails, by his coat sleeve, by his trouser knees, by each of these things, a man's calling is plainly revealed. What ineffable twaddle.
You think so?
It's unsigned. I'd like to see this fella clapped down in a third-class carriage on the underground and asked to give the trays of all his fellow travellers. I'd lay 1,000 to 1 against him.
You'll lose your money. As for the article, I wrote it myself.
You?
Yes, I have a turn both for observation and deduction. The theories there are really extremely practical. So practical I depend on them for my bread and cheese.
But how? What exactly do you do for a living?
Ah, at last, the direct question. Well, I am a consulting detective, if you can understand what that is. I suppose I'm the only one in the world.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, here in London, we have lots of government detectives and lots of private ones. When these fellows are at a loss, they come to me and I put them on the right scent.
And how is it that you can succeed where they fail?
Knowledge of sensational literature. Immense. That was very perceptive of you. I have made a particular study of the history of crime. There's a strong family resemblance about misdeeds. And if you have all the details of 1,000 at your finger ends, it's odd if you can't unravel 1,001st. Couple that with the scientific application of observation and deduction, or ineffable twaddle, as you so colourfully described it. And there you are.
A consulting detective.
At your service. For a fee, of course.
And some of your clients are policemen?
Oh, quite so. Well, one fellow's been here several times.
Oh, yes, you introduced me. Lestrade, a little sallow man, rat-faced.
Yeah, I see you have the knack for observation yourself. He's a well-known detective, Scotland Yard, and got himself into a fog recently over a forgery case. I solved it for him.
And the others?
Mostly sent on by private inquiry agencies.
And you solved their problems without leaving this room?
As usually. Now and again a case turns up which is a little more complex. Then I have to bustle about and see things with my own eyes.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Not at all. When we first met, I told you that you'd been in Afghanistan.
A lucky guess.
Oh, I try never to guess. Oh, no, it's a shocking habit. Now, I knew it. Now, let's see if I can give you the line of reasoning. Here is a gentleman of a medical type with the air of a military man, an army doctor, then. He's just come from the tropics, for his face is dark, and that is not the natural colour of his skin, for his wrists are fair. He has undergone hardship and sickness, and has recently been seriously injured in at least 2 places. Where could an English army doctor have seen such trials? Clearly, in Afghanistan. The whole train of thought didn't occupy a second. I put the conclusion into words, and you were astonished. Oh. Good night, Doctor.
He was a terrible man, Arthur.
Why not didn't you throw him out earlier, Mother?
They were paying £14 a week. And this is the slack season. I thought I was acting for the best.
It's all right, he's gone now.
I wish I'd been here. Oh,
please, Arthur, let's forget about it. Now, who on earth can that be at this hour?
I'll go. Well,
there's no need. Jenny's still up.
Hello, Jenny.
Oh, no.
Is it him? Is it Trevor?
Oh. Good evening, lady.
I thought I told you that you were...
Surprised to see me, are you? I've come to take your little Alice away with
no.
me. Live like a princess. Come here and kiss me.
Oh, oh,
come
on. Oh, Trevor!
Who's there?
Take this for a kiss.
Oh. Oh.
Outside with you. Come on. Get out.
Oh.
Now, you listen to me, Trevor. If you dare to show your face in our house again, I'll kill you. Do you hear me? And this thanks to help you remember. I'm here, Trevor. I'll kill you!
Hello,
going. Not up at Bart's today?
I was right. You do have a talent for observation.
Trust you've left me some coffee. Anything interesting in the paper? Evidently not.
There are no crimes and no criminals these days. What's the use of having brains in my profession? I know well that I have it in me to make my name famous. No man has ever lived who's brought the same amount of study and natural talent to the detection of crime as I have done.
I believe you.
And what's the result? There's no crime to detect, or at most some bungling villainy so transparent that even a Scotland Yard official can see through it.
This coffee's cold. I'll ring for some more. I wonder what he's looking for.
Who?
Just crossing the street. See?
Oh, you mean the retired sergeant of marines.
Brag and bunch! That's a pure guess and a safe one, too. You know perfectly well. I've no way of verifying it.
On the contrary. I believe you'll have every chance. Listen.
Retired sergeant of marines, eh?
Undoubtedly.